The Rambam begins Perek Lamed in Hilchos Shabbos by making a statement that there are four mitzvahs in connection with Shabbos. The whole Rambam Mishneh Torah is introduced with the Sefer HaMitzvahs. He lists off what he considers are the 613 mitzvahs, and then he goes section by section. He starts off, he says, now we're going to discuss the first five mitzvahs. Then we're going to discuss the next five mitzvahs. Then we're going to discuss the next five mitzvahs. By the time he gets to the end of the whole Mishneh Torah, so he says, now we've completed all the 613 mitzvahs. And Hilchos Shabbos, he writes in the beginning of Perek Lamed, there are four mitzvahs in connection with Shabbos. Two appear in the Chumash, and the other two appear in Sefer Yishai. The two that appear in the two that appear in the Chumash are Zohar v'Shomer, and the Aseres Adibris, the two versions. And the two that appear in the Novi are in the Novi Yishai. We just read it on the Haftorah of Yom Kippur. Solu solu panu derech. So the Novi says, the Karosel v'Shabbos Onig, so the two that the Gemara speaks of are kibud v'yonim. These are the two min haTorah and the two midivrei sofrim, the two midivrei kabbalah that appear in the Navi. What exactly is kibud and what exactly is oneg? So the Rambam starts telling you what's kibud, what's oneg. He doesn't give a clear cut definition. It's a little unclear what is kibud, what is oneg. So the Beis Halevi in his Chuvas Chelek Aleph has a brief essay about this, and basically he says what the Vilna Gaon says, Bekitzah, before him. The Vilna Gaon in Hilchos Yom Tov writes that the difference between Kibud v'Yonig is, Kibud means all the hafanas, all the preparations that you do in advance of Shabbos and Yom Tov, like you cook the cholent, and you take a shower, and you get dressed, and you vacuum the floor, and you set the table, and you light the candles, that's all Kibud. And Onig is the pleasure a person has on Shabbos when he eats the food, and when he enjoys being dressed nicely, and enjoys the fact that the house is lit up, and so on and so forth. That's basically the difference between kibud and oneg. That's why the Beis Halevi points out in his Chuvah, Chelek Aleph in the Chuvahs, that lighting candles is both kibud and oneg. Kibud is the fact that you light the candles in advance of Shabbos, before Shabbos and Yom Tov begin, and oneg is the fact that I enjoy the house being lit up. Many women have the practice that on Shabbos they bench licht in advance of Shabbos, and at Yom Tov they wait till the husband comes home, and they bench licht at night, and they say the bracha l'hadik ne'shal shal yantav. So many poskim are upset about this. Rabbi Tzolei Peterburger has a long tshuva about this in the Pri Yitzchok, and others have. Rabbi Soloveitchik also mentioned more than one occasion he thought that it wasn't right. He thought more correct is to bench licht on erev yantav in advance, before yantav. Why should you only have the mitzvah of oneg, enjoying the fact that the house is lit up? You should fulfill the mitzvah of kibud, to light the candles in advance, even though it's permissible to do a melacha on Yom Tov if you need it, to light a candle from an already lit candle on Yom Tov if you need it. But still, if you light on Erev Yom Tov, so you'll chaparai in the mitzvah of kibud in addition to the mitzvah of oneg. It's interesting, the Rambam uses an expression. He says these four mitzvahs, the two of them appear in the Chumash, Zoch B'Shomer, Shnai Min HaTorah, and the other two, Shenisparshu Al Yidei HaNevim. An interesting expression. The two that were nisparshu al yidei hanavim. So the simple pshat, the translation of the word nisparshu, they were spelled out. They were mentioned by the nevim. Some, that's in the very first halacha, perek lamed halacha aleph. Some, the chasam sefer, and others, I remember, Rav Soloveitchik once gave a yortzeit rosh about this. Some understood the word shenisparshu to mean that they were interpreted by the nevim. This kibud v'yonig is not really only medivrei hanavim. This is the pirish that the nevim gave al piroch hakodesh to the pasuk and chumash that says zachor. Shomar, we know what it means. Shomar Shabbos means it. One doesn't do malacha. Shomar Shabbos Shabbos. This Yom Shabbos l'katsha is really an issa. Whenever it says yishomer pen aral, so the Gemara says that what's implied is an issa. So the issa only refers to the lamatas malachas. You're not permitted to do malacha on Shabbos. But zachor, the Rambam says, what does zachor mean? So the Gemara says lahazikir. Zachar doesn't mean remember the day of Shabbos to make it holy, but rather to mention the fact that today is a Yom Kodesh, to recite Kiddush on Shabbos. That's what the Gemara says in Brachas, that the word Zachar means lahazikir. Word like Zachar Reis HaShav Salach HaAmalek doesn't mean to remember, it means to mention the fact, to read the parasha of Amalek. Or how do we know that there's a mitzvah Mikra Megillah? It never says Grad in the Megillah Sester, it just says it says everything but Mikra Megillah. Never says that there's a mitzvah Mikra Megillah. By us, everything, the most important thing on Purim is the Mikra Megillah. You look in the Psukim in the Megillah Esther, doesn't really say. So the Gemara says, it says, Hayamim Ha'ele Nizkarim V'Na'asim. So Na'asim refers to the Suda, the Shalach Manas, and the Mantanas Lev Yainim. And Nizkarim means not that the days are remembered, but rather the days are spoken about. Lahazikir means to mention, to speak about. You have other places in the Tanakh also, but the Gemara understands the verb Zachor, not in the sense of remembering, but rather to mention. So here also, Zachor, Siam Shabbos L'Katshoi, means that you have to mention the fact that it's a Yom Kodesh. The Rambam, Rabbi Kiveger, writes in one place in Shulchan Aruch that when the husband comes home and he says to his wife, Good Shabbos, and she says back, Good Shabbos, he thinks that everybody's Yotzei Kiddush Menat Torah, because he said today is Shabbos. So the Mishnah Brura quotes this from Rabbi Kiveger. Rabbi Kiveger has the whole discussion. If the husband daven Ma'ariv already, and the wife didn't daven Ma'ariv on Friday night, so the husband was Yotzei Kiddush Deraisa with the Tefillah Sarvis, and the wife didn't begin to fulfill any Kiddush yet, if she didn't daven Ma'ariv, so how can that affect Akasha? How can the husband say Kiddush to be Moitzei the wife if she's Mechuyiv Min Atur and the husband is not only Mechuyiv Min the Rabbanon and maybe there's no Orvis for women? It gets involved in the whole story. So Rabbi Kiveger has a chill about this. Others discuss this. Rabbi Kiveger thinks when the husband comes home and they greet each other and say Good Shabbos, so the wife is also Yotzei Kiddush. And the Mishnah Berurah is not happy about this. So he says, what do you mean? You just say Good Shabbos. You have to say today's a holy day, today's a special day, today's a different day. The Rambam defines what is the text of the Kiddush? He says, Kiddush, you have to mention the fact that today is a unique day. In fact, that's the Mishnah Berurah on the first page here. On page, in Siman Reish Mem Beis, he quotes from the Rishonim that there's a significance in reciting Zmiris on Shabbos. What's the significance in reciting Zmiris? Reciting those Zmiris that say, Yom Zeh Mechubad, reciting the Zmiris that speak about the uniqueness of Shabbos and the Kedusha of Shabbos. There are different kinds of Zmiris. Besides Zmiris, which speak about the themes of the creation of the world, there are different Zmiris. Some of them speak about the themes of Shabbos, Kedusha Shabbos, the singularity of Shabbos, the uniqueness of Shabbos, the mitzvahs of Shabbos. That's an extension of the mitzvah of Kiddush. Instead of just being Yotzei Kiddush with the bare minimum, what we say Kiddush in the davening, in the, over the cup of wine, so if he says Zmiris, that's a hemshech of the mitzvah of Kiddush. So the Chasam Sofer and several other Gedolim hold that when the Rambam writes that these two mitzvahs that appear in Yeshayahu Kibud V'Yoneg, these were Nisparshu V'Yidei HaNeviim, what it means is not only they were spelled out by Neviim, this is a pirush. The Navi Yeshayahu is giving us a pirush of what's included in the word Zachor. That Zachor doesn't only mean to mention Kedusha Shabbos, to recite Kiddush. Included in Zachor is to prepare for Shabbos in advance and to observe yourself, to act on Shabbos in such a way to have oneg, and to prepare in advance to demonstrate the significance of the Shabbos. The Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch quotes over here, the Gemara mentions, Rabbi Yochanan used to refer to the clothing that he wore as mechabdusa, that the clothing gives the person self-dignity. The person feels better when he wears nice clothes. They told me that years ago the BBC used to insist, it was a radio station, it wasn't TV, used to insist that all of their news broadcasters should wear a three-piece suit, even though no one sees them, because if they're going to be dressed up nicely with a tie and a nice jacket, they're going to speak with more Derech Eretz. So that's what we assume, that a part of Kvod Shabbos is that a person should wear Big Day Shabbos, a person should dress nicely. Soloveitchik used to complain about the fact that a lot of people think you only have to dress up nicely when you go to shul, in public. Now when you come home, you can wear a bathrobe the whole day, or something like that. So he thought that's not right. If you're going to take a nap, it's a different story. You don't have to go to take a nap in a Shabbos Dika suit. But as long as the person is in a waking position at home, he's supposed to be dressed in a B'kavod Dika fashion. It's not that you dress up nicely for others. You have to dress up like Kvod Shabbos. The Gemara has, in fact, a comment on that pasuk in Yeshayahu, that Kedosh Hashem Mechubad Zeh Yom HaKippurim, that on Yom Kippur, Ein Bo Lo Achila Ve Lo Shtiya. So that's why on Yom Kippur there's more kibud. What exactly does that mean? So the Meir, Rav Soloveitchik used to quote the Meiri, says on that Gemara in Shabbos, on Kuf Yud Ches, in Masechah Shabbos, and on Yom Kippurim, you don't really have Achila Shtia, you don't have Tashmish Amito, so you're missing a lot of the Oneg on Yom Kippur. So in order to make up for the fact that you're missing a big chunk of Oneg, so you should emphasize more the kibud. You should emphasize more what you do have. So let's say Bigodim. So you can wear nice begodim on Yom Kippur. So the Miri says, that's why we wear special begodim on Yom Kippur, which we don't wear a whole year long. Many communities have a minig, you only wear a kittel on Yom Kippur. Other communities, they wear a kittel Rosh Hashanah on Yom Kippur. By the Yekas, they do that. But many communities in Eastern Europe, they only wear kittel on Yom Kippur. or all over the world, they only wear a talus all day long. When they wear a talus to Meirid and to Shacharis and to Mincha and to Nila, all day long you wear a talus. We wear a talus in the morning and we take it off in the afternoon. On Yom Kippur, you wear a talus 25 hours. The whole day you wear a talus. So the Miri says the reason why is based on this Gemara. L'kdosh Hashem Mechubat Zal Yom Kippur, because we're lacking in the oneg, ain't bo la'achila v'lo shtia. The Gemara says you're lacking in oneg, so you have to double up on the kibud. It's not only kibud, it's also an aspect of owning, wearing the begadim on Yom Kippur. So you have to double up on what you are able to do it even more. Or in the Shulchan Aruch it says, the Torah quotes a minhag, that on Yom Kippur they used to light more candles in the shul than they would light on a normal Shabbos and Yom Tov. He quotes a Targum Yonison in Ezil, which doesn't appear by us. We don't have it in our editions. He quotes a Targum Yonison on the Pasuk and earlier in Yeshaya, where the Navi Yeshaya says, Kabdu as Hashem ba'urim. You should show honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The simple translation is in the caves. Those who live in caves, ba'urim. So the Tur quotes his version of the Targum Yonison in Ezil, not Pasuk ba'urim, comes from the word panosaya, with lanterns. You should show kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by lighting up the shuls in a proper fashion. So because on Yom Kippur you don't have achila shtia, so you want to there's no oneg, you're lacking a lot of oneg, so you want to emphasize the kibud of Kedosh Hashem b'chubud. So that's why the minig was on Yom Kippur that they lit more candles in the shul. They didn't have electric lights. So they used to have candles at the time. Erev Yom Kippur, everybody would bring an extra candle, there would be more candles in the shul. I know by us it's all the same. We have the big, the lights are on Shabbos, Yom Tov, the weekday is always the same. But in the days of the years ago, when they didn't have electric lights, so they used to have more lights on Yom Kippur than they had the rest of the year on Shabbos and Yom Tov, because you emphasize the kibud because you're lacking the oneg. The Mishneh Berurah quotes on the first page over here that the proper thing is that the sudas of Shabbos should have shnei tafshilin. You should have a minimum of two courses. You have more than two courses. You have a place, gefilte fish, then you have soup, then you have chicken, then you have kugel, then you have cholent, then you have a whole bunch of things. Then you have dessert, then you have cake. You have that's why how we all gain weight, because we're very mekayim, very mahadir in this din of shnei tafshilin. Yeah, where does the halacha speak about shnei tafshilin? So we know there is, he quotes it from Rishonim. Where did the Rishonim get this idea shnei tafshilin? You have to have two courses. In addition to the bread, aside from the bread, you have a din at Erev Tisha B'Av by the Suda HaMafsekas. It's not allowed to be an elaborate meal. So the din says in the Mishnah, it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, you're not permitted to have Shnei Tavshilin. So our minig is we wash, we have bread, matzah, whatever, and then you have a hard-boiled egg. It doesn't necessarily have to be a hard-boiled egg. That's the minig, you have a hard-boiled egg. That's one tavshil. So you can have any tavshil you want. It can have basa v'yayin, it's Erev Tisha B'Av, okay? But you're not permitted to have Shnei Tavshilin because Shnei Tavshilin indicates a chashivas of a Suda. It's a Suda chashuvim. And the same is, there's a Mishnah in the end of Psochim, where the Mishnah in Arab Psochim says that by the Seder, you have to have Shnei Tavshilin on the Kaira. So the Gemara finally comes to the conclusion, the Gemara wasn't sure whether this Takanas Chachamim of Shnei Tavshilin existed b'zman shebez hamigdash hayakayim, or was only introduced after the Churban HaBayis. So the Gemara's final conclusion is that this was introduced after the Churban HaBayis, and the Shnei Tavshilin, the two cooked foods, they represent, don't have to be eaten. Shnei Tavshilin do not have to be eaten. They just have to be there to look at. If you want, you can eat it, but you don't have to. And the idea of looking at it is, one is Zecher LePesach, and one is Zecher LeChagiga. The two carbonas that they always used to bring on Erev Pesach, is Man HaMikdash, and Man HaZeh, we can't bring them. So we make a Zecher LePesach and a Zecher LeChagiga. But originally, the Gemara thought that it's not based on after the Churban HaBayis, you want to make a Zecher. So what did they think originally in the beginning of the Gemara? The first Amoraim thought, no, Shnei Tavshilin is the definition of a Suda Chashuva. You have to have a minimum. Even if you can't afford it, you have to strain Zechon a little bit. You have to strain yourself and try to see to it that you should have a minimum of Shnei Tavshilin. So if you have soup and then you have chicken, that's a Shnei Tavshilin. Or if you have fish and you have chicken, that's already Shnei Tavshilin. The Mishnah Berurah quotes that in the very beginning, 10 lines from the beginning, he writes that because people usually enjoy basa v'yayin, so that's why the poskim assume that you have to have basa v'yayin in the meals on Shabbos. If a person doesn't enjoy flesh, the person is whatever, they don't enjoy eating flesh, so let them have milchiks. If they enjoy milchiks, rather, Let them have milchiks. On Yontif, it's a shayla. On Yontif, there's a mitzvah of simcha. So that's a deal in the poskim. That oneg is determined subjectively. That says in Shulchan Aruch. Let's say, Shulchan Aruch talks about such a person. I don't know people like that. There used to be people who enjoyed fasting so much. They enjoyed fasting better than enjoyed eating. Years ago, there used to be such people. So it says, if you personally enjoy fasting better than eating, so you're allowed to fast on Shabbos. You don't have to have any in the Shalom Shulis. You yaitze the mitzvah of oneg Shabbos by not eating at all. Normal people today enjoy eating better than enjoy fasting. So by us, there's a mitzvah that we should eat and divide it up in Shalosh Sudas. So that's clear in the Shulchan Aruch that the mitzvah of oneg Shabbos is always judged subjectively. Normally, the minhag olam is that people enjoy basar v'yayin and they enjoy dogim. So that's why we insist on having basar v'yayin and migdonos, nash, whatever we would eat. And if we covered the kamil, that's what you have. And Yom Tov, that's a discussion in earlier Achreinim, the Ramah quotes, the Maharil, and others discuss. And Yom Tov, in addition to the mitzvah of kibud v'yonig, there's also a mitzvah of simcha. So that's a shaila. Is simcha determined objectively? Yatz talach, you have to have basar v'yayin, even if you don't enjoy it. You got to choke on your basar v'yayin. That's called simcha. Or you say, no, simcha is also judged subjectively. If I enjoy basar v'yayin, so I have simcha, but basar v'yayin. If you don't enjoy it, you're not mechuyev on Yom Tov either. So that's a big debate in Achreinim. The Gemara seems to say that Malava Malka on Motzoi Shabbos is also a form of covered Shabbos. We throw a party to bid farewell to the Shabbos on Malka. Just like if one would have a chashav guest. So you don't just say goodbye and see them at the door. If they were there for a while, if they just came briefly, so you don't make a party to say goodbye. But if they were there for a while, so you throw a party. And in fact, in the Sefer Or Zeruah, by one of the Rishonim, the Or Zeruah writes that a source for the institution of Malama Malki in the Chumash is when Yaakov ran away from Esav and he stayed Ur Kasdim for so many years, then he was afraid to say goodbye to his father-in-law. He was afraid that the Lavan would take the wives back and all of the riches that he had. So he snuck out. So then Lavan chased after him and he said, why did you sneak out? You should have told me that you're leaving and I would have thrown a party. I would have thrown a farewell party. So the Ozer Rosh says, that's the Mokka from Malava Malka. Then when a dear friend is leaving, dear friend was there for over 20 years. Yankov Avinu was there for a long time. So when he's about to leave, say, so throw a farewell party. We do it when people move to Eretz Yisrael. So you say, it's Eis Kamashon, we make a party, Shalashudas, Malava Malka, whatever. So that's what the Malava Malka Bayas is all about. They asked Rav Elbala Soloveitchik once, does he think Malava Malka is restricted only to Shabbos or should apply to Yom Tov as well? So he said, you look in the Rambam, you get the impression that all the laws of Shabbos carry over to Yom Tov. You should really have a Malava Malka. I mean, you wouldn't call it a Malava Malka. Shabbos is a Malka. You wouldn't call it a Malava Malka. But strictly speaking, you should have something like a Malava Malka on Tzoy Yom Tov as well. Shouldn't only be applicable to Shabbos. The Gemara speaks about a concept in the beginning of the second Perek in Kedushin. The Gemara speaks of a concept of mitzvah bo yosem b'mishluchai. Whenever there's a mitzvah that you can do personally or you can have someone else do it for you, some mitzvahs you just can't ask someone else to do. I can't ask someone else to daven for me and to eat matzah and mora for me and to put on tefillin on his arm for me. He's putting out for himself. But those mitzvahs, because some put up a mezuzah, so whatever mitzvahs I can do myself or I can have someone else do, so it's preferable that you should do it yourself. So the Gemara gives the example of the hachonis lekvot Shabbos. Usually the husband is busy in the office the whole day on Friday and he comes in and just makes it by the skin of his teeth and he makes Shabbos. So and the wife does all the preparation. She gets all the mitzvahs. She benches lifts and she vacuums and she sets the table. She cooks all the food. The husband takes his own shower. The wife takes her own shower. Okay. So das ist der ganze Kvot Shabbos that I do. I take my own shower and I run to shul. That's it. So the Gemara says you should do a little more. You should do a little bit of the Kvot Shabbos. So the Gemara says one of the Amoraim used to broil the liver. Another one used to whatever. Each one did a little bit. The wife did the bulk of the mitzvah, but the husband participated a little bit. That's part of the mitzvah of Kvot Shabbos, to do all the preparations in advance. And we say mitzvah bo yosem b'mishlucha. It's preferable that you should do part of the mitzvah yourself and not just rely on the wife to do everything. The Mishnah Berurah writes in Hilchas Pesach, let's say have a home that has 25 rooms. And I got to do B'dikas Chometz. I'll be up till the morning doing B'dikas Chometz on 25 rooms. So you can appoint, so I can have 9 children. So I tell each child, you have to do B'dikas Chometz in your room. So what's going to be with the mitzvah boyos and the b'shlucha? So it says, if I'm b'dik one room is also good enough. I don't have to be b'dik all the 25 rooms. If I do B'dikas Chometz on one of the 25 rooms, I'm already in fulfillment of the mitzvah boyos and the b'shlucha. Like over here, it doesn't say that the husband has to do 50-50, husband has to cook half of the food and the wife has to cook half of the food. Whoever wants to have a share should do a little bit. You do a little bit. Is there ready your fulfillment? Just taking my shower and dressing myself up for Shabbos, I'm not really participating in the Kvod Shabbos for the whole family. That's only my personal Kvod Shabbos. But I should participate a little bit in the hachanas that are relevant to everybody. That's part of the mitzvah bo yosem b'shluchan. The Gemara talks of an inyan of preparing from Sunday for Shabbos. The Gemara quotes in Beitza, the second parak in Beitza, that there was a machlekes between the Bishama and the Bishilo, how to understand Zochas Yom Shabbos Lekatshay. So the Bishama, Shammai Hazokin, it doesn't say Bishama Bishilo, it says Shammai Hazokin's practice was that he would start putting things away Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. He already started preparing for Shabbos from the beginning of the week. And then it says, but Hillel midach eres ha'isolo, he had a different attitude in life. He would say, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, he would just rely that on Erev Shabbos he would get everything that he needed. Rashi in his commentary on Chumash, on the Pasuk Zachar Shammai Shabbos L'Katshoi, quotes the view of Shammai, that you should start preparing Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Sunday Mepharshim, all the standard Mepharshim ask on Rashi, why did Rashi quote the view of Shammai? Whenever there's an argument between the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel, we always paskin like the Beis Hillel. Yeah, rare cases, 25 cases or so, that we paskin like 24 cases, something that we paskin like the Beis Shammai, but most of the time we paskin like Beis Hillel. So why did Rashi over here all of a sudden quote the Beis Shammai Shita? So Rav Leshik was fond of saying over the comment from the Netziv, several other Mepharshim have it as well. The Gemara doesn't say that this is a machlokes between the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel, what pshat and the pasuk is. It says this was Shammai's approach in Hillel. He had a different way of living. He was never worried about the future. He always relied on Erev Shabbos, he'll find what he needs. So Rav Soloveitchik said, do you have a pension program? Do you put away money in a savings account? So you're Shammai. Hillel didn't have any pension program. He didn't put anything away. He was never worried about what's going to be in the future. Hillel, midah cheres ha'isalo. Whoever has that midah of Hillel fulfills the mitzvah of Zachar Shammai Shabbos L'Katshei. On Erev Shabbos, you go to the store and you buy and you're fine and you're baking and everything will work out well. But if your normal way of leading your life is like Shammai, so we're all Shammai. So that's why Rashi and Chumash realized that we live in a generation, Rashi already lived in a generation that everybody had the attitude of Shammai. They didn't have the attitude of Hillel. So they didn't. Hillel will also agree, if you have an attitude in life like Shammai, you got to follow Shammai's position. So this is the mitzvah of Zachar Shammai Shabbos L'Katshoi, to prepare in advance for Shabbos, like we always prepare in advance. You always prepare in advance for retirement or for old age and so on. But there is a specific mitzvah of Kvot Shabbos, which the Gemara seems to say only applies on Friday. That mitzvah of Kvot Shabbos doesn't apply earlier. In fact, we were just discussing before this year, Yontif fell out Thursday, Friday, and Shabbos. So in Eretz Yisrael, there is no second day Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. So it was only Thursday. And there was no Erev Tavshilin. In Eretz Yisrael, there was no Erev Tavshilin. So the Shaila is, we, Chutz La'aretz, have Yom Tov Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. We make an Erev Tavshilin on Wednesday. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to cook with the Erev Tavshilin. You're not allowed to cook on Thursday for Shabbos. You're only permitted to cook on Friday for Shabbos. Why is that? So the simple explanation could be given because Min HaTorah, the Yom Tov is only on Thursday. The whole Yom Tov Friday is only a make-believe Midirabbanan. And Eretz Yisrael, there is no Yom Tov on Friday. So Min HaTorah, it's Hetagoma to cook. You don't need any Hetashim. More permissible to cook on Friday for Shabbos. Of course you shouldn't cook on Thursday for Shabbos. That's the Poshep Shat. So that's one reason that's given in the commentaries on the Shulchan. But then they give another reason. The other reason they give is, based on the Gemara and Psachim, the Magen Avraham quotes this from the earlier Poskim, that Shvus Kirova Hitiru, Shvus Rechoko Lo Hitiru. In Min HaTorah, it's permissible to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos, but Midrabbanan, they prohibited it. And they said, if you make an Erev Tavshilim, we give you a special dispensation. We permit you, even with the Rabbana, to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos. So that's only permissible if it's a Shavuos Kirova. I'm cooking on Friday for Shabbos, or whatever preparations I'm doing. But if I'm going to cook on Thursday for Shabbos, that's not Samach L'Shabbos, so that's already too far away, so there's no Heter. So it could be, there isn't an explicit discussion of this topic in the Poskim. Rav Shlomo Kluge has a tshuva where a little bit he touches on it. It could be that it's even forbidden to cook on Thursday night for Shabbos, even though it's already Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. Could be it's only mutter to cook on Friday in the daytime for Shabbos, because that's called Shavuos Kareva. What it perhaps means is that this mitzvah, the mitzvah of Zachar Yisrael Shabbos L'Kadsha, begins from the beginning of the week. You have to start preparing already for Shabbos from Sunday on, like Shammai HaZaken did. We all do like Shammai. We all prepare ahead for the future. But this specific mitzvah of Kibud Shabbos, the Gedosh Hashem L'Chubot, the Chibarato, Kvod Shabbos seems to begin Dafke on Friday. There are many balabastas who set the table already on Thursday night. They're all ready for Shabbos. So that's wonderful. Or they bake the challahs already on Thursday, or the chicken, everything is already done on Thursday. That's marvelous, yeah. But in the Shulchan Aruch, it would appear that they're not really in fulfillment of this mitzvah of Kvod Shabbos. Kvod Shabbos requires that it should be done davke on Friday, not to be taken care of sometime before Shabbos begins, in advance of Shabbos. Should be done dafka on Friday morning as opposed to Thursday night. There is a discussion here, the Hayodim and the Mishnah Berurah have a discussion. Normally one is not permitted to take care of his own needs before he daven shachris. So let's say I'm going to go shopping in the store on my way to shul to buy my breakfast. So I'll have breakfast eat after I daven shachris. So you're not allowed to do that. So the shaila is, what about to go shopping for challahs on Friday morning before you daven shachris? That's not the same as a regular weekday. Shopping for your challahs, either baking your challahs, or shopping for your challahs on Friday is a mitzvah. It's a personal need. Yeah, people are hungry, they have to eat food also. But eating the challahs on Shabbos is a mitzvah. Avoinik Shabbos, and maybe preparing on Friday to go purchase the challahs on Friday for Shabbos is the mitzvah of Kvod Shabbos. And the Gemara seems to emphasize the significance of doing a davka early in the morning. You shouldn't run into the store, not only because the store may run out of challahs. No, let's say I have flour, I'm baking my own challahs. Preferable to make all the hachonas Friday morning, it says. Early in the morning, Friday morning. So the Chayodim and the Mishnah Berurah raise such a possibility. Maybe it's mutter to go shopping for the challahs Friday morning before shachris, because it's not that you're taking care of personal tzarachim. This is really, this personal tzarach is really a religious tzarach. The Ramah in the end of Reish Mem Beis on page 4 quotes a minik from the Maharil that dafke to have a kugel on Shabbos and has a hard crust on the top and on the bottom. What is that all about? The last line in the Ramah in Simen Reish Mem Beis. What's the idea of having the hard crust on the top and on the bottom? So he says this is a zechal aman that was mechusa lemaila ulamata. The pasuk says in Chumash that there was tal that was above and below the mon. So Minig developed to have a Michael that has like that, a crust on top and a crust on bottom. Later in Shulchan Aruch, they mentioned the custom to have a tablecloth on the table of Kvod Shabbos rather than just eat on a bare table. It makes it more bekovedik, it's much nicer. And then to cover over the challahs as well. So three explanations are given, three different reasons are given as to why you should cover over the challahs. So one of the reasons that's given is that it's Zechel Amon, that just like the Mon was covered over on top and on the bottom, so too the Challah should be covered on top and on the bottom. Because the Lecha Mishnah, the fact that we have two Challahs on Shabbos is Zechel Amon. So if we're making already a Zechel Amon, so we should make a Zechel to the fact that it was Mechusa Milamailo Milamato. Of course, they give other, according to that explanation, that it's the cover over the Challah is Zechel Amon, so the same should apply to Shalosh Udas. That you should cover over the challahs before you're about to say Moitzeh about Shalosh Udas. Many write that they never saw such a practice. Shalosh Udas, no one covers over the challahs. So obviously that's not the real reason. So what is the real reason? So Tosfos has another reason, that if you have wine and you have lechem, so strictly speaking, if you're interested in eating two different foods, so the Mishnayos and the Gemara and Brachas have a whole discussion as to which bracha, which food should be recited first. if there's no specific system. Let's say, if the system is that you, first they give the entree. So you don't say no, but halacha requires a guy to eat the dessert first because that's bar pi hoetz and entree shahakol. If there's a system, so you follow the system. But if there's no system, it doesn't make a difference which one you have first. So then there's a whole discussion in Mishnayos and the Gemara in Shulchan Aruch what you're supposed to do first. But traditionally in Europe, when a young person would go to a Talmud Chacham to receive smicha, so they would always put a tray full of different foods in front of him and tell him, have a bite. And that was part of his test to see if he knew which bracha he's supposed to say first. Add a fruit and a vegetable and some cookies and a cup of coffee. So you had to figure out what bracha, and he had to explain why he said which bracha first. So the strictly speaking, the din is that the hamoitzi over the bread of Barim and Mezainis, over the cookies, should really precede Bar Priagofen. But the din says you got to say Kiddush before. So it may cause an embarrassment to the bread or to the cookies that you're saying the Bar Priagofen. So that's why we cover over the cookies, that's why we cover over the bread. That's the reason that Tosfos gives it. It's a little humorous. What I mean? The bread is going to start crying over the fact that we hurt his feelings. And what it probably means is that we should train ourselves, we should practice on inanimate objects so that if we ever bump into a situation where there's a human being there, so for sure we should be careful not to hurt their feelings. You should train yourself all the time, even when there's nobody around, on inanimate objects to be becovered. So that's really an agadic explanation. That's not the real reason. According to that explanation, so again, it doesn't apply to Shalosh Udas. Because Shalosh Udas, we're not saying any Kiddush. You say Hamoitzi first, so the Chalowin. The real halachic reason, leaving out the Zech Alamon, with the covering on top and on the bottom, with this, the insulting, hurting the feelings of the Chalad. That's both agadic reasons. The real reason that Tosfos gives in Arvei Pesachim is that the Gemara says that the table should not be set on Friday night when you come in, like on a normal day. Normally, when you come in, the table is all set. So you're coming in Friday night. You're coming home to eat supper. The husband says, let's eat supper. No. Friday night is a Suda Shabbos, Lekvot Shabbos. So to demonstrate, Kehecha de Tesi Suda Selikore de Shabbata, Tesis quotes that expression from the Shiltas, to demonstrate that the meal is being presented tonight, Lekvot Shabbos, so we don't have any food on the table at all. You only recite the Kiddush, and then you bring the food later. So Tosfos asks the Kasha, but how can it be? But the Gemara says in Masechah Shabbos that two angels come home with us every night on Leil Shabbos, and they see if the table is set. So then the good angel says, Yihi Rotzen, that the same should be next week, and the bad Malach has to say, Bal Korcha has to say, Amen. And if the table is not set, the whole house is a wreck and a sloppy mess. So the evil angel says, Yihi Rotzen, that the same should happen next week, and the Malach HaTayv has to say, Bal Korcha Yana Amen. He has to say, Amen. So the Gemara's expression is the table set, is the table not set? So you see, the table is supposed to be set. So what does the Gemara say there himself? And the table is not supposed to be set. The Tosfos says, no, it means that all the food should be prepared on the kitchen, on the counter. The first course should be ready to be served, and the plate should be ready, but no food should be on the table. And then, after you say Kiddush, then it should be 1, 2, 3. You shouldn't have to start taking it out of the refrigerator. But really, the food shouldn't be on the table. So Rav Soloveitchik used to say that he thought that that was the real halachic reason. And not only that you should cover over the challahs, you shouldn't have any other food on the table as well. He thought the same is true on Shabbos morning. You shouldn't have anything on the table. Or whatever is on the table should be covered up. Let's say they have here in the cafeteria when they serve on Shabbos, so they usually have pickles on the table, and they have, what else? Yeah, gefilte fish. So you should really cover everything up. Either not have it, or if it's too difficult for the waiters, then you should cover it up. They always used to pressure Rav Soloveitchik that he should come to the RCA weekend, the Rabbinical Council of America. He used to have always a weekend at the Pioneer, Pine View, whatever, and then later on, Amalek, whatever. So he always used to pressure him, and he didn't want to miss it. Every Saturday night, he gave a shiur on Matzah Shabbos in Boston. So he never wanted to give up his shiur. So on one occasion, he finally gave in. They pressured him so much, he gave in. So after they davened on Friday night, they came to the dining room, so all the tables were set with all the food. So he made them crazy. He said, you got to take off all the food and made all the right. It's crazy. You have to take everything. I didn't want to rely that they should cover it up. That's his personal, his family meaning is that you don't have any food on the table. You don't rely on covering over. So you thought that was the main reason what Tosfos says. You have the chalas on the table. Better would be you shouldn't have the chalas either on the table. You have the chalas on, it should be covered up so that no food is visible at the time. You say Kiddush to demonstrate that all the food is eaten today, lekvot Shabbos. Shulchan Aruch quotes that the Gemara in Bava Kama, that Ezra made 10 takonas. So one of the 10 takonas of Ezra is that you should do the laundry on Thursday. You shouldn't have dirty laundry around the house. But the house should be clean, not only in the living room, and in the dining room, the rest of the house should also be clean. All the laundry should be taken care of on Thursday, but the house should be spick and span l'kavod Shabbos. There's a big discussion in the Gemara about if a person, and the Mishnah Berurah goes a long length, a great length of this, and said, cut null. If a person can't afford to have elaborate meals on Shabbos, at least he should have a little bit extra than he usually has in the middle of the week. Many people are terribly poor, so they should have such a little bit extra l'kvod Shabbos. And he discusses, what if you can borrow, what if you don't have money, you have to borrow money. So the Gemara says, lavu alai v'ani parea, borrow from other people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that he will pay us back. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Gemara in the second Perek in Beitzah that Komaz on Esav Shalotim Tzuvan Lo Mitishrei. How much parnasa one is going to make is always determined from the beginning of the year, with the exception of Schar Limud, how much tuition you pay to send your children to the yeshivas, and with the exception of spending money, Lekoved Shabbos and Yom Tov, you buy flowers to put on the table, you buy extra courses of food and so on. So whatever you do, Lekvot Shabbos, Lekvot Yom Tov, that you don't have to worry will be paid back. So that's one of the Zmiras of Shabbos. We mentioned this passage from the Gemara. Lavu alai bani parea. Borrow if you don't have, so borrow money. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't worry, I'll pay back. Unless the person really doesn't think, he doesn't see b'derech ha'teva, how in the world is going to pay back the money, then the Mishnah Berurah says, shouldn't rely on nisim. If he thinks that there's a good chance that he'll pay it back, he probably will be able to pay it back. Then we say, lavu alai bani parea. But if he doesn't see b'derech ha'teva, how he's ever going to pay back, then ain't samich malanes. Okay, started a little late, we'll end now. Should have atzlocha, it's a wonderful program. Kulei Rebach. Whatever you learn is gewaldig. Oh, I didn't explain why I picked Shabbos. The yeshiva is learning Masechta Shabbos this year. And we have a Mishnah Berurah requirement. There's a b'china on the first